sloth and joyful rise to pay thy morning sacrifice. In conversation be sincere, thy conscience as the noonday clear. Think how the all-seeing God thy ways and all thy secret thoughts surveys. All praise to thee who safe hast kept and hast refreshed me while I slept. Grant, Lord, when I from death shall wake, I may of endless light partake. Lord, I my vows to thee renew, disperse my sins as morning dew. Guard my first springs of thought and will, and with thyself my spirit fill. Direct, control, suggest this day all I design or do or say, that all my powers with all their might in thy soul glory may unite. Praise God from
follow the order of matins on page 219, also printed in the bulletin. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Hallelujah.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in his hand. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to
the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion,
which cannot be moved, but abides forever.
As the mountains surround Jerusalem,
so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore.
For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous,
lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong.
Do good, O Lord, to those who are good,
and to those who are upright in their hearts.
But those who turn aside to their crooked ways,
the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel.
The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is from Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into the containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
All depends on our possessing God's abundant grace and blessing. Though all earthly wealth depart, they who trust with faith unshaken by their God are not forsaken, and will keep a dauntless heart. He who to this day to many joys has led me, is and ever shall be mine. He who ever gently schools me, he who daily guides and rules me, will remain my help divine. Many spend their days in fretting over trifles and in getting things that have no solid ground, shall strive to win a treasure that will bring me lasting pleasure, and that now is seldom found. When with sorrow stricken, hope on you my heart will quicken. All my longing shall be stilled to his loving kindness tender. Soul
grant me all the longing hopes that haunt me. Joy and sorrow have their day. I shall doubt his wisdom never. As God wills, so be it ever. I commit to him my way. If my days on earth he lengthen, God my weary soul will strengthen. All my trust in him I place. Earthly wealth is not abiding, like a stream away is gliding. Safe I anchor in his grace.
This morning's sermon reflects upon the readings from Deuteronomy 7 and Romans 8. To start, I reread Deuteronomy 7, verses 7 and 8. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God's love has never been, I mean, you use a word here, but you can use other words too, contingent on how good people are. What does that mean, that contingent? It means it depends upon or relies upon. God's love has never been reliant upon or depends upon people's good works. God's love is there. People's good works come and go, but God's love is there. And in Deuteronomy, we see that this has always been the way. And I just chose a couple of those verses, but you look at the surrounding verses as well, you see that Moses preached to the people in this sermon from Deuteronomy 7 that it was not because of your wonderful nature as a great and mighty nation, it was not because of your works, it was not because of your beauty that God chose you, but he set his love on you, just flat out. He loved you. And he is keeping his oath with your forefathers. What is that oath? Well, specifically for the children of Israel, follow their line to Abraham. I will make of you a great nation. You will be a blessing to many nations. You would have many descendants, and they would have God's blessings. I have a little quiz there. So Deuteronomy 7 clearly teaches that God's love for the Israelites was because of B. Not A, what they did, but because the promises God made to them. That's why he loved them. He called them to do good works. He called them to obey the Ten Commandments. But he loved them first. And he loved them because of the promise that he made to their ancestors. He made with their ancestors. If you think about it, this is the character of God all the way from the very beginning of the Bible. When Adam and Eve sinned in Genesis chapter 3, and they hid from God, where are you? And here I am, God. Well, what have you done? Why are you hiding? Have you eaten of the fruit that I told you not to eat? Well, the woman you gave me, she fooled me. It's her fault. What have you done, woman? Well, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And then God gives a curse on the serpent, on the devil. And we remember, and I've pointed this out many times in Bible class and sermons, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is in the hearing of Adam and Eve, but it is spoken to Satan, to the devil. He says to him, again paraphrasing, the woman will conceive, the woman's descendant, one of the woman's descendants will crush your head. You will crush his heel, but he will crush your head. Now, did Adam and Eve do anything to deserve that promise, that curse upon Satan, that prophecy that finally Jesus would be born? Think about that right there. Adam and Eve had done nothing. In fact, they denied doing anything wrong. The woman you gave me, she tricked me. The snake you gave, he deceived me. Both Adam and Eve denied that they had done anything wrong. So God turns to Satan, basically tells Satan too, they're not for you. There's going to be enmity between you and the woman and her offspring. They're not following you. And besides that, one of her offspring is going to crush your head. Did they do anything? Did Adam and Eve do anything to deserve that promise, that curse upon Satan? And they did nothing. Out of God's pure mercy and grace and love for the man and the woman and all their descendants, he said this curse, this prophecy about the coming Savior that would step on the serpent's head. That is the character of God through all of Scripture. Before the man and the woman, before any of their descendants can do anything good to deserve God to do something, he loves them and blesses them and calls them to love him and do good. God acts first. And that is the heart of the Christian faith, the center of the Christian faith, is that God acts first before human works, before human good works. Humans can't do enough to deserve God's grace and love and mercy. God acts first and makes promises. So Moses, in that whole way of the character of God and how as Moses knows God, he says, it was not because you were so great or beautiful or wonderful people, Israel, that he loves you, but he loves you and he is keeping an oath made to your forefathers to love you and to take care of you. Sometimes this passage from Romans chapter 8, verse 28, is not really quoted very well or interpreted very well. The passage itself is, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And sometimes I've heard it said or been aware of, well, God will work it out for good. And they think in that application or that understanding, there is a skipping of a very important part there for all those who love God. Those things work together for good. If you don't love and believe in God, it doesn't work out for your good. If your whole life you don't love and believe in God, you are going to be condemned forever. That's not what God wants. But for his people, for those who know God has saved them in Christ, in the Old Testament, known that there is a God who has a promise of a Savior, for those who are believing in God, trusting in him, everything works out for good, even the evil things, even the hard things, even the outwardly bad things, because finally he's going to bring his people to eternal life. But a person who says, well, God's going to work it all for good so I can do anything I want, right? That's not what this word is about. This word is about those who trust in God because they know God is good and God loves them and they're trying to do his will and they're confused and they're persecuted and they have tribulation and suffering, but all that God is going to work out for their good. for his purpose. And those who have this blessing and promise from God want to be in his purpose. I want to be a Christian. I am a Christian. I'm having trouble being a Christian, but I want to be a Christian. I want to follow God. I'm having trouble, but I want to. God is working those things out for good. But for those who reject Christ and don't want anything to do with Christ and think the Ten Commandments are stupid, well, it's not going to work out for their good. Maybe they will repent and come to be a Christian. But this is a promise that is solid and sure for God's people. Because why? They're in his purpose. There's another way to think about that Niagara Falls. God's purpose, God's will, God's might, God's power is like us standing against Niagara Falls. I'm going to fight you, God. No, you just get blown away. You can't. Niagara Falls, if we're with the falls, if the falls are supporting us, if that power of the falls is with us, nothing overcomes that. But it's foolishness to stand. I'm going to stand underneath the falls and nothing will happen to me. But with the grace of God and have his power and might and his promises, oh, we stand defiant against them. But when we're in the grace of God and have his power and might, that is just all-encompassing. And even though we have the sufferings and sometimes they're not good or fun, that power of God is with us. And that flow of God's purpose, his intention from the beginnings and even before the beginnings of the world is flowing. And how does Paul continue in that passage? When he says in verse 28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose," continuing verse 29, "for those," in other words, those who love God, called according to his purpose, "for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." These words, and actually more of Romans chapter 8, all go together, but just a section. Those who love God, those he called according to his purpose. Paul says right away in the next passage, he foreknew them, and we know from other scripture passages, he knew of his people before he created the world. Before day one of creation, he knew you. He knew me. He knew of our lives. He knew how he was going to interact in our lives. He knew that his Son was going to have to die for us. Before day one of creation. Paul says, before the foundations of the world. That's Niagara Falls. God calls us to receive that and believe it and live in it and maybe go through hard times. But that is his purpose and intent from before day one of creation. So it's really silly of the world and anybody who rejects Christ to say, "I stand against God, God is nothing, da 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 da. I'll stand on my own." Really? He knew before the foundations of the world how this was going to work out. But that gives us confidence as Christians. When in following days of creation, Adam and Eve sinned. That promise he made that he would send a descendant of Eve who would step in the serpent's head, we were in that plan as well. The blessings of that Savior would come to us. God calls us to see his perspective of things and have confidence in that. He says, don't you know I foreknew you before day one of creation? Don't you know I predestined you to be my son, to be my daughter? Don't you know that my son died and you will be conformed into his image and wear his righteousness? Don't you know I've called you into that and I've justified that and you will be glorified in that? That power of Niagara Falls, a power of God's plan and intention. He calls us to trust in that and to rely upon that. His purpose is to give us life everlasting, and in that everlasting life is his glory. And the glory, there's a problem with the Niagara Falls metaphor, because it's too big. It's too powerful. How can I stand up in Niagara Falls? So there is a weakness in every metaphor, and that metaphor, there is a weakness. But his glory, this is not a metaphor, his glory in Christ is placed on us. And Jesus presents that glory to his disciples very gently, doesn't he? Very profoundly. Peace I give to you, peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, but as I give. That peace that Jesus gives us, his holiness, his glory, clothes us, changes us, empowers us, protects us, carries us through. Paul wants us to be certain of this, that his holiness, his righteousness, his power is in God's plan for us. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you measure us not by things that we have done or not done, but you measure us by your own promise and love in our Lord and Savior Jesus. Help us to receive you every day, to know that you're watching over us, to know that you're forgiving us, and help us also joyfully to share this with others, that others may also know of your grace and wisdom, and especially one day also your glory, that we may live with you forever. All these things we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. I bring my guilt to Jesus to wash my crimson stains, clean in his blood most precious, till not a spot remains. I lay my wants on Jesus, all fullness dwells in him. He heals all my diseases, my soul he does redeem. I lay my griefs on Jesus, my burdens and my cares. He from them all releases, he all my sorrows shares. I rest my soul on Jesus, this weary soul of mine. His right hand me embraces, I on his breast blessed the Lord. Like a fragrance on the breezes, his name abroad is poured.
The congregation is invited to stand. We pray the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church, printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church throughout the world, that the gospel of Jesus Christ may go forth unhindered, and the Holy Spirit bring many into this fellowship of the redeemed, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all God's people, redeemed by the cross and resurrection of Christ, that we may pursue his kingdom with all our hearts, souls, minds, and bodies, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those troubled by the memory of past sins, that they may have confidence that Christ has died for their justification and still intercedes for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faithfulness in our vocations, that we would come to see the various offices God has given us as gifts through which we serve him and our neighbors, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For President Biden, for Governor DeWine, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws, that they would lead with wisdom, seeking what is best for all in accordance with God's will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those burdened by sickness and affliction, we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, James, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Sue and Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Helen, Michael, Ray, the Rodriguez family, Charles, Sandy, Jeanette, Sandy, Marty, Carl, Denny, Kathy, and Rosa, that they may await healing and deliverance in the firm conviction that nothing can separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, it is not for the sake of our numbers or strength or birth that you preserve us, but for the sake of your faithfulness and steadfast love.
As you preserved your ancient people of Israel, for the sake of your promises, keep your holy church on earth, and also preserve our synod. We pray for the sake of your name. Lead our delegates and members gathered in convention according to your good pleasure and will, that in word and action we may love you and keep your commandments, confessing your steadfast love and faithfulness even to a thousand generations. Through Christ the crucified, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy.
We pray the colic for the week. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love, that receiving what you have promised, we may love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. We pray our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. Amen.
You're invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn, 924.
Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each your love possessing, triumph in redeeming grace. Refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give and adoration for your gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of your salvation in our hearts and lives abound. Ever faithful, may we remain endless bound. Savior, when your truth shall call us from